Welcome to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. This is Jimmy Lakey, and I'm delighted that you are joining us for this half hour. You can reach Call to Freedom at Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or by going to the website at www.freedomstreet.org. If you want to leave a message or order a word-powered daily reading Bible guide or a Freedom Street Express newsletter, you can call us toll-free at 1-866-917-7256 and leave your name and address, including your zip code. If you want to talk to Barbara right now, she is expecting your call. You may call that same toll-free number, 1-866-917-7256, to speak to her. And now, let's join Barbara in the studio.
Welcome to Call to Freedom. Oh, friend, keep traveling steadily. Yeah, that's my word to you today. Keep traveling steadily along his pathway, and in due season he will honor you with every blessing. That's from Psalm 37, verse 34 in the Living Translation. And I really enjoy the Living Translation. We've had that around for a long time. So people don't have the excuse, well, all I had in those days was the King James Version. Nope. Living's been around for about 50 years. So keep traveling steadily along his pathway, and in due season, he will honor you with every blessing. It reminds me of Galatians 6, verse 9. For the one who, verse 9, and let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due season we shall reap, that means get a great harvest, if we do not grow weary or we do not faint. Wow. If you don't faint, if you keep going along, keep traveling steadily, that's what Psalm 37, 34 says in the Living, keep traveling steadily along his pathway, in due season he will honor you with everything. It's like when you read Joshua 1:8. I was just reading that this morning, too. I'm just so excited about God's word. And in a new year, it's wonderful to know that God's word is true. And God is going to keep his word to you. If you get a word, write it down. Start memorizing it and saying, this is what God says to me. But in Joshua 1, verse 8, let's see. Here I am. I'm almost there. Yes, in verse 8. And so many of you write this down on your donations. This book of the law will not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. Then. You will meditate on the word. You will meditate and meditate on the word, and it shall go down into your heart, and you'll be careful to do, become a doer of the word. Then you will make your way prosperous, and you will have success. It's the then. I hate to burst your bubble, but it's the then. Oh, praise God. We have so many conditions. You have to be a doer of the word and not hearer only. So many people hear the word of God. For instance, at church, probably if I asked half the congregation that left the church, what did the pastor talk about today? I don't remember. So become a doer of the word. That's Barbara's advice for you today and always. You are blessed to dispense, for in him you live and move and have your being. And that verse is taken. The first part is an affirmation. You are blessed to dispense. And in him you live and move and have your being is from Acts 17, verse 28. And our memory verse for this week is Philippians 4:13. Yes, we're learning from the Passion. This is my first scripture I have memorized from the Passion. I find that the strength of Christ's explosive power infuses me to conquer every difficulty. And you're going to get to know that so well and understand it. See, wisdom, you are my sister. Understanding, you've got to understand what you're reading and what you're saying. That comes right along with wisdom. You can't have wisdom without understanding. So we'll say Philippians 4:13 again from the Passion. You're learning this with me, okay? I find that the strength of Christ's explosive power, I love that, explosive power. It comes from nowhere, but it does its work. Explosive power infuses me, goes all through me to conquer every difficulty. Oh, in Jesus' name, praise the Lord. My confession for today by Rick Renner, starting today, I make the choice to walk away from everything in my life that is displeasing and desecrating to Holy Spirit's presence within me. Anything that is displeasing to Holy Spirit. Anything. And most of you know enough word that if you go and have sex with someone who is not, you're not married to them, you know that's wrong. You do. Oh, I'm having fun. You know that's wrong. Especially if you've known the Lord Jesus. So everything in my life that is displeasing and desecrating to Holy Spirit's presence within me, this is for believers. I walk away from every negative thought, word, and deed that has tried to operate in me and that is dishonoring to Him. Like, for instance, if you say, I'm just nothing. I didn't go to college. I didn't graduate from high school. That's dishonoring Him because He says, as a believer, you are the righteousness of God in Christ. If you have been born again, old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. So if you say things like that, that's dishonoring God who created you in His image and likeness. I turn the other direction to walk a new walk and talk a new talk that shows respect and love for the Spirit of God who dwells in me. I declare this by faith in Jesus' name. And today we're going to talk about that faith. Faith to make things happen in your life. So many people say, oh, I got faith. But you don't see things happening in your life, especially supernatural, wonderful things in your life. And I have a definition for faith. Faith is the positive response or the conscious recognition of God's grace in your life. Faith is the positive response, positive, or the conscious recognition of God's grace in your life. And by that, you're saying, thank you, Father God, for your grace in my life that covers everything I do today. Your grace, your precious gift that only wants the very best for me. Thank you, Father. And as I'm reading about Jesus in Matthew, I realize that He healed those who came to Him and had faith. You will read that if you're reading through Matthew with me, and we start in the New Testament, we start in Genesis, a new year. Brand new year. So we're starting chronologically in the Old Testament and chronologically in the New Testament. And so we see here that these people that wanted to be healed, either someone brought them or they came to Jesus and they had faith. I'm going to be reading some scriptures today. And here's the definition of faith in Hebrews 11, verse 1. And this is in the Passion. Now, faith brings our hopes into reality and becomes the foundation needed to acquire the things we long for. It is all evidence required to prove what is still unseen. Faith empowers us to see that the universe was created and beautifully coordinated by the power of God's word. He spoke, and the invisible realm gave birth to all that is seen. That's faith. Faith brings our hopes into reality. I'm pounding on the table here. That's reality. That's real. And it brings hope into reality. That's what I want for you. I want your hopes to come into reality, especially if they're backed by God's word. Faith befuddles many Christians. It does. You mention the word faith and they just kind of ignore it or walk away. They don't really understand it and they don't want to understand it. Everything's going good. They got a comfortable life. They've got insurance. They've got their home paid for. They don't need faith. And true, they probably don't need God's kind of faith, but I do. And it brings a true believer and a follower of Jesus to become totally committed. This is not a fun and games exercise of being a Christian. Let me tell you, it's just a lot of hard knocks. But the reward, it's like God, it's like this thing I read at the beginning of this program. God's love, let's see, that's on the 8th. I'm reading here from the 8th. Keep traveling steadily along His pathway, and in due season He will honor you with every blessing. Every blessing. I'm there. I'm there for every blessing. Oh, and faith is something that a believer strives for and hopefully sees happening in his lifetime. I want that. I want that in my lifetime, and I have seen some real miracles in my lifetime. I want more. Faith in Jesus Christ has healed tens of millions of people since Jesus left this earth, and you want to know how it works in your life. Yes, I want to know how it works in my life. I want to know that when I say in the name of Jesus, Father God, I thank you for sending your angels to Dana in Colorado Springs and Kimberly, 750 miles, 12 hours away from me. I want to know that his angels are guarding over my family. Yes, amen. So I want it to work in my life. I've sensed so many times that as I've read all the miracle reports in the Gospels and the book of Acts, that faith is real and it is accessible. It will work in your life if you truly believe. Let's take one portion of scripture here that I just read yesterday, I believe. Yes, Matthew 9, and I want to read it from the 16th verse because faith has everything to do with the way you see the new covenant in Jesus' blood. Something that the Pharisees couldn't see. They were steeped in their religion and their pride. It's a matter of record that Jesus showed that the Pharisees were so blinded by pride and religious spirits that they couldn't recognize their Messiah until the veil of the flesh was taken from their hearts. One example of that, and some Pharisees did come to know the Lord Jesus, one example of that is Nicodemus in the 3rd chapter of John. I believe as he went away that night, he truly believed Jesus was the Savior of the world. And so Jesus is saying here in Matthew 9, 16 through 34, I want to start in the 16th verse because it's a scripture, a passage of scripture I didn't understand for a long time until I got out of my old religion, my old religious spirits. So verse 16 of Matthew 9 says, "No one puts a patch from old clothing on new cloth." I tried that once. I had a rip in a new outfit, and so I realized that there was a piece of an old outfit that I could tear out and put on the new cloth, and then it would be okay. It wasn't okay. "For the new patch will shrink and rip away from the old cloth, leaving an even bigger tear than before. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, for the old skins would burst from the pressure, spilling the wine and ruining the skins. New wine is stored in new wineskins that both are preserved." What is Jesus saying here? He's saying, and it kind of came out of nowhere because he's healing people here and healing people there, and all of a sudden he's saying these profound verses that no one understands. He's saying that you cannot continue in the old way of thinking and obeying the religious laws that you grew up with. You cannot continue in the old way or with habits that are contradictory to the new covenant teachings. It's a new day. It's a new day and a new life in Christ. This is a new year. So God is going to start breaking up some of your habits. Yes, he is. He truly is. He's going to get you to not say things that you have been saying before. I'm going to get into that in just a couple minutes here. But some of you have just gone on your merry way doing the same thing that you did last year, and you're going to do the same thing again this year. Mm-mm, no. Holy Spirit is at work changing us to get more like Jesus. And the new teachings of Jesus cannot be comprehended by people who will not change the tradition they've grown up in. Rhema revelation cannot abide in unregenerate hearts. And Rhema revelation is exactly what it says. It's vital. Rhema is R-H-E-M-A. It's vital. Now, you read the Bible, it's logos. Logos revelation. You're reading it. But when that revelation comes into your heart and becomes vital, you become a doer of that word. That's Rhema, R-H-E-M-A. And Rhema revelation cannot abide in unregenerate hearts. The light of Jesus' teachings must remove the darkness of tradition of man in the hearts of people. And this is done by being willing to allow the Word of God to penetrate cold and dark hearts, hearts steeped in tradition. For instance, "This is the way I've done it all my life, and you're not going to make me change." Okay? "Well, my family has always gone to this church, and I won't change for anything." Or, I've heard this from people who are just maybe scared of tongues, or they don't like the idea of not being able to understand it. if God wants me to speak in tongues, he's going to have to take my tongue and wiggle it. I've heard that, actually heard that. I've heard these remarks from Christians who wouldn't change if Jesus stood in front of them. And that's the way the Pharisees stood in total stubbornness of the new rhema that was flooding the streets with miracle after miracle. Oh, coming right from the mouth and the hands of our Messiah, Jesus, the Anointed One. They even went so far to say that John the Baptist was possessed of a demon. Now, if you would have seen John in animal skin, okay, probably he had not bathed recently, and probably there was a smell emitting from this animal skin. Where would your mind go? What would you think if a man walked into your congregation from off of the streets, a homeless man? What would your congregation, what would your pastor, what would your leaders do? I hope they would take him in. I do. The Pharisees said of Jesus, he's a glutton and a drunkard and a friend of tax collectors. Now, what they had seen is that Jesus actually called Matthew a tax collector and said, join us. And you know what? Matthew left everything and joined them. He was a tax collector. Matthew 9:18, as Jesus was saying this, a leader of a synagogue, woo, a guy high up with the Pharisees and the Sadducees, he came and knelt before Jesus. Now this is really something in that day for a leader of the synagogue to come and kneel before Jesus. See, he defied the tongue lashings of the Pharisees. You know why? Because his daughter had just died. He was desperate. And sometimes our lives have to get desperate before we change. Faith broke the back of tradition in one faith-filled act of this man, this father. My daughter has just died, he said, but you can bring her back to life again if you just come and lay your hand on her. What faith? What faith? My daughter has just died. And he said, but you can bring her back to life. See, he believed. He had faith. And Jesus and his disciples got up and went with him. Just then, a woman who had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding came up behind him. She touched the fringe of his robe, for she thought, if I can just touch his robe, I will be healed. There's another one. If I can just touch. Jesus turned around and he saw her and said, daughter, be encouraged. Your faith has made you well. And the woman was healed at that moment. You can see an example of two people here who were desperate for a miracle to happen, and they forsook tradition and the law, because in the woman's instance, she should have been saying, unclean, unclean. That's what they were told in the Old Testament. Anybody who had leprosy or bleeding or things like that, unclean, unclean, so nobody would come near them. Oh, wow. When Jesus arrived at the official's home, he saw the noisy crowd and heard the funeral music. Tradition. Oh, I just saw the fiddler on the roof over New Year's Eve. And my goodness, I enjoyed that so much more than I ever have before, because you could just see the tradition. Oh, and so Jesus said, get out. He told them, get out. This is Jesus speaking. Get out. The girl isn't dead. She's only asleep. And the crowd, what did they do? They laughed at him. That's what opponents do to God. They laugh. They say, there is no God. They laugh at you, too, if you speak of God or Jesus Christ. They mock and blaspheme the name. And after the crowd was put outside, however, Jesus went in and took the girl by the hand, and she stood up. The report of this miracle swept through the entire countryside. After Jesus left the girl's home, two blind men followed along behind him, shouting, Son of David, have mercy on us. They went right into the house where he was staying, and they should have been saying, unclean, unclean. Jesus asked them, do you believe I can make you see? Yes, Lord, we do. Then he touched their eyes and said, because of your faith, it will happen. Then their eyes were opened and they could see. Jesus sternly warned them, don't tell anyone. But you know what? They went out and spread his fame all over the region because they had been blind and now they saw. Oh, friend, it takes people who really hunger and thirst for the Lord. As a deer panteth for the water brook, so my soul longeth after you. You alone are my heart's desire. Here's John. When all things around become shadows in the light of you, Lord. I have Psalm 42 on John's gravestone, and it was just one of his favorite verses of scripture and his favorite song. When all things around me become shadows in the light of you, Lord Jesus. Smith Wigglesworth, a great man of faith who saw many miracles and saw many people healed in his revivals, said, I can't understand God by feelings. I can't understand the Lord Jesus by feelings. I can only understand God the Father and Jesus Christ by what they say about them. I can only understand God the Father and Jesus Christ by what the Word says about them. See, he knew that he couldn't go by feelings. He only could go by the Word of God. God is everything the Word says he is. God is truth. God is a spirit. We must worship him in spirit and in truth. Smith says, God is everything the Word says he is. We need to get acquainted with him through the Word, not through feelings. Not through feelings. Feelings don't last. People who live by their feelings can't experience God because he isn't in feelings. He operates by the Word that you know. If people feel good, they think God has heard their prayers. If they don't feel good, they think God hasn't heard their prayers. It's such a sad situation for some people because they're going entirely by their feelings. And you know what Darren said? Symptoms, feelings and symptoms are liars. God's word is truth. Symptoms and feelings are liars. God's word is truth. And it's so true. It's so true. God's word is powerful. Oh, make a vow. Get into the Word of God. Get into the Word of God every day, every morning. Make that your standard for this year, 2022. It will bless your heart and keep you motivated and going no matter what is the circumstance outside. I guarantee it. I guarantee it. God bless you and keep you and take joy.
Thank you for listening to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. You may get in touch with Barbara at Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237. Or you may leave your message at 1-866-917-7256. Call to Freedom is a listener-supported radio ministry. Barbara and her power partners invite you to come on board with us and become a network of hands holding up Call to Freedom Ministry. Power partners support Call to Freedom with prayer and monthly financial support. You will be blessed supernaturally. We invite you to visit Call to Freedom's website, www.freedomstreet.org, where you can hear Barbara's daily radio broadcast 24 hours a day or order materials. You may share your praise reports and heart cries by mailing them to Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or you may email us at barbaracarmack@freedomstreet.org. Until next time, remember, Jesus loves you, Barbara loves you, and take joy.